You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the G Family Performance Center in Edmond, Oklahoma, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Eric G, a.k.a. the Mad Hatter, the Fad Hatter, or Hey Dumbass, as my wife likes to call me. Thanking you for making us a part of your weekend, and congratulations to Kyler Murray for being the seventh player in OU history to win the Heisman Trophy. First time in OU history that it's ever happened back-to-back, and first time you've had back-to-back winners since Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart did it in the early 2000s, and I'm sticking with that. Despite the Heisman Trophy being stripped from Reggie Bush, I don't think he deserved to have it stripped, so USC was the last school before Oklahoma to go back-to-back. But enough Heisman history. What we want to talk about today here on the Locked On Sooners podcast is, where exactly does Kyler Murray rank as one of your all-time Heisman winners at OU? And I will try and rank them all 1 through 7. I will go through who the best Heisman winners were in Oklahoma history, and kind of talk about where Kyler Murray's place is amongst those guys, and why he is the most unlikely of all the seven Heisman winners to have accomplished this feat. And if he's not the most unlikely, then I think Jason White certainly falls into that category, and we can discuss him as well. Also, we'll talk a little bit about Hollywood status and whether or not we're going to see Marquise Brown for the Orange Bowl or not. Desmond Howard says no. Kyler Murray says yes. And what's going on with Tua Tagovailoa? How likely is it that he will be playing in the Orange Bowl against OU? And what does this mean for Jalen Hurts? And more importantly, what does it mean for the OU defenses now? You've got to get ready for two quarterbacks. And how much of an advantage is that for Alabama to have the OU coaching staff chasing ghosts here the next few weeks? In segment number two, I'll give you what I know about Pete Golding. I do have a Pete Golding update. I've been scouring the internet. I've been reaching out to people from Alabama, reaching out to people from OU to see what I can find out about Pete Golding, and how likely is it that you will see him take this Ole Miss defensive coordinator job? I think it's more likely than what a lot of people think. I could be wrong, but this is just an opinion. And finally, we'll wrap things up today talking about the Oklahoma men's basketball team, who throttled Wichita State today in a very workmanlike effort. What they did right, what they did wrong, and what did Wichita State coach Greg Marshall have to say about the OU basketball team? Because I thought he said two things that were pretty significant, and I'll tell you what both of those are coming up in segment number three. My name is Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game here in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, also News Radio 1000 KTOK. I'm the co-host of Game Day Saturday with Randy Renner, which airs every Saturday morning at 5:30 a.m. I believe it's 5:30 a.m. on News Radio 1000 KTOK. And at 9 a.m. on 1340 The Game, I also run a website called Sooner Maven, and you can get there by going to College Sports Maven. That's all like basically one word, collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma, and join the conversation as we put up new content every single day on that site, be it audio, video, written, whatever. And we would love to have you comment on it and give us some feedback. We'd also love to have your comments on this podcast. So let's jump into it. Congratulations to Kyler Murray for being the seventh player in OU history to win the Heisman Trophy. And he's the most likely of all candidates to win the Heisman. That includes Jason White. Now, if you want to make the argument that you think Jason White is the most unlikely because this is a guy that hurt both of his knees, suffered some injury, you never knew whether he was going to play or not at OU, I'll buy that. But think about Kyler Murray's trek here for a second. Superstar, stud, playing high school football in Allen, Texas, decides not to go to OU because Josh Heupel's recruiting him, and that's what Kyler Murray said. Goes to Texas A&M, flames out after having one incredible game against South Carolina, transfers to OU, concentrates on baseball, gets into football, doesn't get the starting job compared to Baker Mayfield, gets drafted in the first round of the Major League Draft, which for most guys would have meant right then and there, you're giving up football. You're going to take the guaranteed money and you're going to go start playing baseball now so you've got a track on working yourself up into the majors. He chose not to. He comes back, and even coming back, if we take Lincoln Riley's word for it, which I'm saying this a little bit tongue-in-cheek, we're supposed to believe that Kyler Murray and Austin Kendall were in a battle for the starting quarterback position at the beginning of the year. And then not only does Kyler Murray get the starting quarterback position, not only does he get the starting quarterback job, but he's following Baker Mayfield, a Heisman Trophy winner. And you know how Heisman voters do not like to go back-to-back to the same school, especially the same position, because it looks like there's favoritism in a lot of their eyes. Because, hey, they're only human, even though there's a million out there. They're only human. And what do you know? He wins the Heisman. I mean, it truly is. As much as Baker Mayfield's story is a story of perseverance, Kyler Murray's story is also a story of perseverance. Even though he was highly recruited out of high school, probably, well, definitely considered the more talented of the two quarterbacks coming out of high school, because he didn't have to walk on anywhere. And yet still, he persevered over setback after setback and having to make some tough decisions and really following his love for football and not going into baseball, which guaranteed him millions. He gave that up for at least 1 year. And he's still leaving the door open about football or baseball and probably trying to play both professionally. Don't see that happening. It's just way too tough. And any smart organization doesn't want you to do that. Any smart organization wants you to commit. If I'm the Oakland A's, you got to choose football. You've got to choose football or baseball when it comes to professionally. I can't have you do both and risk you not being good, getting hurt, and not being able to play Major League Baseball. But truly an astounding story in and of itself. For as much as a story Baker Mayfield was, Kyler Murray's a hell of a story as well. That being said, Kyler Murray is not your best Heisman Trophy winner. Your best Heisman Trophy winner at OU is Baker Mayfield. It will always be Baker Mayfield. And Baker, along with guys like Joe Washington and Thomas Lott growing up, Tommy McDonald, whom I never got to see play, but I know his story coming from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and him being only the second OU Hall of Famer to get into the NFL is one of my all-time favorite players, Brian Bosworth. But Baker Mayfield is up there. And what separates Baker Mayfield from every Heisman winner at OU is the fact that he is just the quintessential OU player. Braggadocious and can back it up. And as much as OU fans like to claim that us against the world mentality, even though, hey, it's OU and they are a blue blood of college football, Baker Mayfield represents that. There's a reason you've got a ton of Cleveland Browns fans around now. It's because the OU fan identifies more with Baker Mayfield than they do probably anybody that's come through this program in the last 20 years. So Baker's your number one Heisman winner. Your number two, I'm going to say Steve Owens. Oklahoma born and bred, came to play to Oklahoma despite the fact that Mickey Mantle recruited him to play for the University of Texas via Darryl Royal. Still played at OU, never had the opportunity to win a national championship, but put together one hell of a year. So I'm going to say Mayfield 1, Owens 2. Man, and this is where it starts to get tough. Kyler Murray's 3 for me, and that's not living in the prisoner of the moment. That is going back to what we said at the beginning of this podcast, the fact that Kyler Murray is a story of perseverance. So it's Mayfield, Owens, Murray. Those are your top three. Number four, I'm going to throw in Sam Bradford, another Oklahoma kid. Fantastic. Just an all-around fabulous year. Plus, that's sentimental for me. Sam Bradford's very sentimental for me because that's the first year I got to vote in the Heisman Trophy balloting. Which, in my opinion, validated my career at the time that I was getting to vote for it. And Sam was the guy that I put first on my ballot. So Sam is number four, and that's personal. I'm going to go, wow. We got five. That's tough, man. Do you go Billy Sims? Do you go Jason White? And I love both guys. I've had opportunities to talk to both of them. I'm going to go white just because of the hurt knees, overcoming. Another story that I think a lot of us can relate to, which we didn't know how good Jason White was going to be coming back, and puts together a year where we thought, that OU team, the year that he won the Heisman in 03, we thought that might actually be the best team in college football history. Didn't turn out that way, but still pretty good. So let's review, because I'm losing count. So I've got Mayfield 1, Owens 2, Murray 3, White 4, no, Bradford 4, White 5, and then I got to go Billy Sims 6th, and Billy Vessel 7th. And the whole reason I got Billy Vessel 7th is just because I never saw the guy play. And I feel horrible about saying that, because he was your first Heisman winner in OU history. And I feel like just because he was the first, he deserves to be higher on the list. But man, Billy Sims out of Hooks, Texas, who sat behind Joe Washington when he first got on campus now. So let's review this one more time just for me, just for the sake of it. Sims 1, or no, not Sims 1. What the hell am I thinking? Mayfield 1. I know you're yelling at me right now. Mayfield 1, Owens 2, Murray 3, Bradford 4, White 5, Sims 6th, Billy Vessels 7th. There it is. Your seven winners ranked, your seven Heisman Trophy winners at OU ranked, in the order of what I think was best all the way to last. And of course, last does not necessarily mean horrible, because let's face it, you're a Heisman winner. News on Hollywood Brown. If you believe Desmond Howard out of ESPN, then Hollywood Brown will not be playing against Alabama in the Orange Bowl. If you believe Kyler Murray, he's going to be back. The only people that know for sure are Marquise Brown and, of course, the people at OU. I am leaning towards that he will not be back. I don't care that he's not back. I'm not that worried about him not being back. And you're calling me crazy, but look at how deep this offense is. They should be able to survive without him. Tua Tagovailoa saying, and I didn't see the Heisman ceremony, but I know what he said at the College Football Awards, that he's taking it day to day and he's still in a boot. Now you're the OU defensive coordinators. You're that staff, and you've got to now prepare for Jalen Hurts, whom you don't have a whole lot of film on from this year, so you're going back and watching what he did his first couple of years at Alabama, which were pretty amazing, and the game that he led Alabama back over Georgia looked like a much better passer. So you've got to watch that film and everything else, and you've got to watch Tua Tagovailoa. That is a tall order, and if an injury could ever work to a team's advantage, this one is actually working out for Alabama, because you're going to have the OU defensive coordinators chasing ghosts for the next few weeks to try and figure out how to prepare for two quarterbacks and make sure that this defense is pretty sound. And hopefully, not like what happened against USC a few years back, there's not a lot of infighting amongst that defensive staff. And I know that for a fact, that right before they played USC, there's a lot of infighting on that staff, which was one of the reasons things went so disastrous in that Orange Bowl. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. Coming up next, we'll give you a Pete Golding update. Is he going to Ole Miss, or is he coming to OU? We'll tell you next. If you want freedom, and I know everybody wants freedom in their life, they want freedom in their relationships, they want freedom of choice. Well, freedom is choice, ultimately. You want freedom to go and do whatever you want, whenever you want. You don't like to be tied down. Well, I've got the perfect thing for you. It's called Sling TV. That's right, Sling TV. All you've got to do is go to sling.com/lockedon. That's sling.com/lockedon. Get a 7-day free trial of Sling TV and find out why it's so exhilarating and why so many people are making the switch. And a lot of it has to do with the fact you don't have to just watch TV on your big screen. You can watch it on any device, wherever you are, all your favorite channels, all your favorite sports. And the new way to pay for television is not to pay for stuff that you're not using. So you're not watching that channel, throw it away, forget it, get it out of your life and get to Sling TV and get the SEC Network, get the Pac-12 Network, get ESPN, get all the sports you want and need access to. That's sling.com/lockedon and become a slinger today.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We did a pod last night for Locked On Thunder after the Thunder's loss to the Chicago Bulls. So if you want my thoughts on that and some other stuff going on around the NBA, just go to LockedOnPodcast.com and download Locked On Thunder or subscribe via Apple iTunes or just pull it up on your smart speaker, and that's Google and Alexa, Spotify, Stitcher, and I even hear news that we may be coming someplace else. Ooh, and there also may be some news on a couple of other places you can find Locked On Sooners and Locked On Thunder, but I'll tell you more about that in the coming days. It's Locked On Sooners and Locked On Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Congratulations to Kyler Murray. That's why we're potting on Saturday, because I wanted to wait till he won the Heisman so we could kind of do the first segment the way that we did. The other reason I waited is because I wanted as much concrete information on Pete Golding as I could probably get. And even as I'm recording this at 9:34 on a Saturday night, I know that this information can change too. And it can change just like that. The latest on Pete Golding is this. He's deciding between Ole Miss, OU, and staying in Alabama. And supposedly, he is going to give Ole Miss an answer by tomorrow if he's not already giving them an answer. He makes $650,000 at Alabama. Ole Miss is apparently offering him about $2 million to go there and be his defensive coordinator. And you're thinking, well, why would he go to Ole Miss? It's kind of a weird situation there. They've had some NCAA violations. Well, his wife went to Ole Miss. She likes it. It's a step up. I mean, it's one thing you've got to remember about coaches. A step up is a step up. And being the co-defensive coordinator at Alabama is pretty darn good. And in some sense, it's definitely a lot safer job than being the defensive coordinator at Ole Miss. But still, this gives you an opportunity to call plays. This gives you an opportunity to hire a staff. It gives you an opportunity to be in charge. And the rumor compensation guaranteed for 3 years. I've heard it's $2 million. I'm looking at an article now from FanSided that says $1.5 million. And from everything that I've been told, is that OU still believes that they've got a shot at him. I've also heard that Grinch is still in play for OU. The one thing that I have not heard is that Ruffin McNeil is coming back, and I've got a cousin from Texas that calls me all the time wanting to know. I haven't heard that Ruffin McNeil is going to have the opportunity to be a defensive coordinator unless Lincoln Riley just gets desperate and everybody that is on his wish list decides to go someplace else. Also, Ole Miss has another candidate, and that's Mike McIntyre, the former head coach of Colorado who got let go. And Alabama is willing, from what I also am reading and hearing, Alabama still wants Pete Golding. Nick Saban doesn't want to lose this guy. He's a hot young coach, and Nick Saban has a habit of losing coordinators because everybody wants that Alabama touch. And Nick Saban does a great job of resurrecting careers. We'll talk about that in a second. But Saban is tired of losing coordinators. And Alabama is willing to go from $650,000 a year to $1 million a year for Pete Golding. And that may be enough. That may be enough to tempt him to stay in Tuscaloosa. Because when you think about it for a second, even though OU is going to pay for Pete Golding to move, and he's probably never going to have to lift a box, it's still, you got to show up, you got to look for a house, your wife's got to make new friends, is she going to get along with the coaches' wives at the new place, is she going to be, I mean, all the stuff that you've got to consider for your family when you move, they've got to consider as well. And $1 million may be enough for Pete Golding to say, hey, I'll stick it out here a couple of years, and then I'll wait and I'll go make that jump when I'm more ready to make it. Personally, I think coaching at OU, and I'm biased on this, is better than coaching at Ole Miss. But then again, at OU, you've got shot to win championships. And at Ole Miss, you may have a shot to win a championship once every 10 years, where OU, it's going to be every single year. And if you come in here and you turn the OU defense around and you make them not just respectable, but make them as good as they need to be made, then all of a sudden now you're talking about a head coaching job if you're Pete Golding. Now you're in those talks where if you go to Ole Miss and you're good, but the rest of the team's not good, you get let go, you'll still probably get a defensive coordinator job, but it may take you a while to become a head coach. So the faster career path is definitely OU. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. We'll wrap things up talking about OU basketball and the workmanlike effort that they put forward to knock off Wichita State that's coming up here on Locked On Sooners.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Another episode of Locked On Thunder was dropped yesterday, and you can hear that at LockedOnPodcast.com. Also, you can get it at LockedOnThunder.com, and of course, Google, Stitcher, Alexa, Spotify, with all the Locked On podcasts from all our great podcasters around the Locked On Podcast Network. That's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. The OU men's basketball team wipes out Wichita State today, 80-48, your final score. Christian James and Miles Reynolds combining for 28 points today. Matt Freeman with 11. Matt Freeman was really good today for OU, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. But it was a workmanlike effort. And Greg Marshall, after the game, head coach of Wichita State, said, first thing he said was, it looked like OU was having more fun this year. And he said when they played OU last year, they looked like they were having fun for about a half, and then they looked like they were starting to stress. Christian James would not necessarily go down that road today. He just simply said, gave you that standard answer that everybody's a brother. We like hanging out and playing on the same court together. We're a tight-knit group, and we just like playing together. And it was asked by one reporter. I went down that road, and to Christian James' credit, he wouldn't throw Trey Young under the bus. And I didn't expect him to, but I don't know how you could watch that team last year and watch them this year and see how more cohesive they are and not come to the realization that last year was all about Trey Young. It doesn't necessarily mean that OU was better. It just means they're playing better as a team because you don't lose a first round draft pick and get better. That being said, the effort today in the first half was awful by both teams. Both teams looked terrible, combining for 22 rebounds. At one point, they were, I think, a combined 2 of 13 from the floor. And Greg Marshall saying after the game, he thought OU was a team that would be in the – he told his team, OU's a team that could be in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. That's how good they were in his mind, is that second weekend of the tournament and then possibly beyond. What I saw today was a team that would not have made it out of the first round of the NCAA tournament, which is really frustrating because when you saw them play Wednesday night against Notre Dame, they looked like a team that if they were in a tight game – playing at a neutral court, could figure out a way to win. Tonight, or this morning, playing in that game, one of the biggest issues I had with that first half was the simple fact that there were a lot of open shots that were missed by Wichita State. It wasn't good defense. It was one of OU's worst defensive efforts this entire year. And you do that in the NCAA tournament, a lot of times teams don't stay cold. They get hot. They make those shots, and OU would have been digging themselves out of a hole. Luckily, Wichita State weren't hitting their shots. And when OU decided to play defense, since Wichita State wasn't hitting their shots, they were able to clamp down on them. Good news is that OU knows how to respond after a bad half. The bad news is that if you're going to make it that far in the NCAA tournament, you got to play 40 minutes. You can't go through lulls like they were going through today and expect to beat anybody in that tournament. It's just... What ends up happening with it being only 40 minutes, you being at a neutral site, you playing at odd times, and yes, to playing at 11 o'clock today did affect both teams, but you're going to play that early in the tournament, so you've got to get used to it. You're playing at odd times. You're not familiar with the referees. You're usually not all that familiar with your first-round opponent. And as it gets later in the game and the game gets tighter, that's when people start to clinch. And that's why you see good teams freak out and not make it in the tournament. And that's the one thing I do worry about this team is, you know, you play a game like today, I don't think you're a second-round team. But the potential is definitely there. And they've got to get Brady Manek more involved. Did not get Brady Manek involved at all in the first half. And by the time they were getting him involved, he was cold. Really could not find his stroke today. And his stroke was off. It looked like it was almost an issue of depth perception than it was anything else. And it wasn't just these near misses. I mean, his misses were bad. And I know, I'm making it sound like they lost and yet they won 80-48. It's just that when it comes to the tournament, you got to be a lot sharper than what they were today, and that's what the season is for. It's really just to work on you. It's really just to work on your game to be better for the tournament. And honestly, I mean, with Kansas going to win another Big 12 championship this year in conference, winning a conference championship isn't that big anymore in basketball. It's all about what you do in the tournament. Real quick, last note to finish things up, Will Grier is not going to play in the Camping World Bowl or whatever the hell it is in Orlando. Good choice by Will Grier. Stay healthy. Go get ready for the NFL draft. I'm all for kids doing this, especially those bowl games, but I also think it speaks to something much bigger, which is this. It's time to get rid of the bowl games. And you don't need to expand the playoff. No, four is perfect, but those are the only games we care about are those three games, especially when you're at a program of Oklahoma's ilk, but just get rid of the playoffs. And a lot of times the lower level bowls end up costing some of these teams money because you've got to pay for tickets and you've got to pay for the band and the cheerleaders and everybody else to go. So this big payoff that you were going to get, well, it's already all spent. And if not already all spent, you're actually going in the red on it. What coaches really want is an extra 3 weeks of practice. Figure out a way to add it to spring or figure out a way to give teams an extra 3 weeks of practice somewhere because it's really what they value, not so much the bowl game. And I don't think the kids, is the trips and the prizes and everything else you get at the bowl games, that doesn't mean that much to these kids anymore. What means something to these kids is being NFL ready. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. We'll be back on Monday to talk more OU Alabama. As we get one day closer to December 29th and the Orange Bowl. And until Monday, may God bless you and your family. Everybody love everybody and peace, love, and mercy.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.